talking about our own flesh walk and putting to death the deeds of the flesh, but then we have to be able to learn how to absorb other flesh walkers and not come under the dimension of darkness. Other people are not being affected by those that are walking after the flesh in a death anointing also, which becomes a whole nother kind of mastery.
Well, not really, but it's really simple.
If you're a woman, then you're a
let me just put it like this. You don't absorb people who are in a death walk.
Probably the wrong question.
You don't absorb it.
Unless you don't have an immune system that's strong, you absorb it.
Okay. One of the ways you can tell whether you are a religious person that lives by the law, or whether you are a free spirit that lives by the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is how offended and how affected you are by people who don't walk that way. So if you can't handle being around people who eat, overeat, overdrink, overcuss, overdo anything, because it affects you and it tempts you and it moves you toward it, you're religious. And you're living under the law. Look at them, by God. Jesus healed this guy on the Sabbath. How can he do that? Because they lived under the law. So, and this is a good self-reflection for people. Because it's not about my brother who eats like a pig and bothers me. I'm not bothered by my brother who eats like a pig. It doesn't make me want to eat like a pig like him, because I'm free. I'm under the law of the Spirit of life. I have the discipline of the Spirit, not the discipline of the flesh. The discipline of the law, of the written word. See, the written word is one thing. The principle and life and understanding within that written word is the key. That is the word behind the word, is the understanding and the wisdom behind the actual scripture. The scripture doesn't save you, it's the wisdom of the scripture that saves you. Scripture doesn't heal you, it's the wisdom behind the scripture that heals you. The Spirit, Jesus said, my words are spirit and life, not letter and doctrine and do's and don't do's and restrictions and releases. My words are spirit and they're life, they're Zoe. They will quicken you. But if you're under the law, the letter of the law, the religion of the law, the obligation of the law, the life of the Spirit doesn't really move you, doesn't keep you. You're kept or not kept by what law you obey and put yourself under.
So let's talk about being shaken, and what do you do actually? What goes on in your soul when somebody is speaking words of spirit and death?
Nothing. I mean, I recognize it for what it is. It doesn't shake me.
Yeah.
I'm not shaken by them.
Has it? What have you done in times past when you were more immature and you weren't shaken?
Well, the only area I was shaken in was I realized that they, you know, if that was still my practice. Like sometimes you get around people, like especially after, you know, shortly after you've been enlightened or filled with the Spirit, you get around, you know, other Christians that aren't and that don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that are not walking that way, you get shaken in the sense you get threatened because you don't really know how to relate. But after you grow up a while, you realize, you know what? I know how to relate. I'm going to be myself in the presence of everybody I meet. So I will either be a blessing to them or I'll be a curse to them, but I'm going to be myself. It doesn't mean I'm arrogant. It doesn't mean I'm going to speak in tongues in their face so that they understand, you know, that I speak in tongues. I'm not going to overtly intelligently, you know, plan to offend anybody. But I'm going to be free. I'm going to be myself. Paul said they came in to spy out our liberty. To whom we gave place not one hour. What was he talking about? The Judaizers, the livers under the religious law, came in to spy out the freedom that Paul walked in. Paul wasn't going to allow their lawful walk to hinder his spirit walk in any way, shape, or form. And
I wish I could be specific about times when we were younger, like 35 years ago.
It doesn't matter. It's the same principle.
When we got defensive, when people were being wicked or treacherous, so the key is being able to tell yourself the truth, first of all, when you get defensive. Because
the key is to recognize the spirit.
Yeah.
That's the key. Is to recognize the spirit that is confronting you or that you're in the presence of. Understand, you know, that's why the nine manifestations or gifts of the spirit are so important for believers to have and to operate in and to walk in. Because without that, you can't really live in the spirit. Without the nine manifestations and gifts of the spirit freely operating in your soul and in your spirit, without that, you have no other recourse but then to respond carnally or respond according to scripture, respond lawfully to the things that you're confronted with that you either don't agree with, that you don't walk in, or that are wrong. You have no alternative. You have to respond according to the law. Because you're not free in the spirit and you don't have the gifts working in you that gives you the understanding to be able to interact with people regardless of whether they're dark or whether they're light.
And can you expound a little more on what those gifts are?
The gifts of the spirit.
Yeah.
Prophecy, discerning of spirits, faith, knowledge, word of wisdom. You know, the nine gifts of the Spirit it talks about in Corinthians. Those are manifestations, those are gifts given to the believer to walk through this life in the Spirit. Yeah, if you're not filled with the Spirit, you won't recognize those gifts even when they work. The gifts of the Holy Spirit work in the lives of believers even apart from knowledge, even apart from them knowing it. You don't necessarily have a great intelligence to the gift of faith to be in faith. But the gift of faith is kind of like a hyper faith. It's a hyper faith. It's an additional faith.
So the desire of God to get us out of the first and second heaven of man's wisdom and the demonic wisdom that's earthly, sensual, and devilish is to help us light shining in the darkness in and with a different government.
Well, that's, you know, Christianity is a mystery. And I've been talking a lot about transubstantiation, which, you know, most of the Protestant world thinks that's just a Catholic farce. But it's a very real spiritual process that the Christian lives in. If you live in the dimension of the spirit, there's a transubstantiation that goes on from the flesh to the spirit, from the carnal world, from the first heaven to the third heaven. We access the third heaven. It's a transubstantiation principle that takes place. You go from your carnal existence to a heavenly existence. Paul said, we sit in heavenly places with the Lord. We're living in heavenly places. We have come to bless you with a spiritual blessing from heavenly places. That's the transubstantiation of life. That's heaven being transferred to the believer on the earth so that the believer can see as God sees. that's the mystery. You know, I'll tell you, scholarship, colleges, formal education, denominationalism has reduced the spiritual mysteries of the Bible to a carnal sense evaluation of man. There's no mystery to any gospel that the Baptist preaches, or the Methodist preach, or the Lutherans preach, or the Catholics preach. Catholics have a greater sense of the spiritual mystery, really, the mysteries of heaven that are transubstantiated to man. Catholics have a better understanding of that, at least the priesthood has a better understanding of that than most spirit-filled Christians do.
I have to say, I'm watching you in reality, in real-life situations, interact with people who are under the dimension of the earthly, carnal, and sensual, and devilish with you in time and space. It's like watching you go into a computerized mode of how to do God's will. It's like watching you process what's junk food, spiritual,
yeah,
dark dimension,
yeah,
and you're sitting there again absorbing it, trying to figure out what the will of God and the Spirit is in that situation.
Every true spirit-filled Christian is a refinery. We refine what's crude and dark and black and muddy into a fine, usable product. That's every Christian should be able to refine what comes in and refine it and let it go back out as a spiritual guide or as a spiritual principle, as a mystery. That's the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, revelation, the word anointing. That's what that is. It takes that which is carnal, refines it, and turns it around and brings it out into the spiritual mystery in front of the individual so they can begin to see in another level or in a different realm.
So I would almost say that like this: when you're exposing works of darkness, you're actually naming the Spirit, because that's what people are failing in, naming that Spirit. And when you're exposing works of darkness, you're showing them the slavery and the bondage of actually the Spirit that they're dimensionally under, right? That's what exposing works of darkness actually is.
I think we're